Well, I don't know if you noticed as you came in, but the title of this sermon this evening is Pay Attention. And I don't know if this is particularly relevant for anyone where that's sort of convicting you. I don't know about you, but certainly at this time on a Sunday evening, paying attention is quite challenging. So I thought we'd begin with a little bit of a test to see how well you are paying attention. So that test is a video. So if you'd like to watch what's on the screen. So for the sake of those listening to the recording who won't have seen that, that was a video that got you to count the number of passes of basketball players. But what you don't notice if you're doing that is that a person in a gorilla suit comes in the midst of it and is just there in the middle of what is going on. And it's very easy not to notice it. Now, if you've never come across that video before, the chances are you may not have spotted the gorilla. If you have come across it before, and it has been around for quite some time, so you may well have done, you can spot the gorilla, but you have to be decisive about it. You have to decide to pay attention to the gorilla and not to counting the basketball passes. And I think what that does is it successfully shows, as it said at the beginning of the video, how selective our attention is. We can't pay attention to everything, however much we would like to or think that we can. We have to pay attention to certain things. That's just the way our brains work. By paying attention to one thing, we choose not to pay attention to something else. And sometimes, if our attention is on one thing, we'll miss something surprising or interesting, like a gorilla in our midst. Well, in these Sundays of the coming few weeks, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Proverbs. We're going to start, as we are this evening, in the middle of chapter 22. We're going to go to roughly the middle of chapter 24. And if you've got a Bible to hand or a Bible app that has headings, you'll see that that's headed 30 Sayings of the Wise. Some Bibles or Bible apps might not have those headings and it might seem a bit arbitrary, but there is a sort of section there that we're going to be looking at. So we're going to look at 30 sayings over 6 Sundays. So if you're paying attention and your maths are okay, that's about 5 sayings per Sunday. And actually, we may not look in depth at all 5 each Sunday. We may focus on 1 or 2 as we go through. But even if we focus on just 1 or 2 of the Proverbs, I think we're going to find them helpful and I hope challenging as well in a good way. But I guess before we kind of dig into the sayings, we probably need to take a little bit of a step back and ask ourselves, why on earth should we spend time studying the book of Proverbs or even part of the book of Proverbs at all? After all, it's a bit weird, isn't it, to put together a sermon on a bunch of seemingly random sayings. Some, if you read through the book of Proverbs at all, even dipped into it, you'll know that there's some proverbs linked together. Sometimes there's a little run of proverbs on a particular theme about money or work or idleness or something like that. But very often, the book of Proverbs seems to be a bit of a random scattering of things. There doesn't seem to be lots of things that link together. And it can be a little challenging to read, a little bit challenging to study, and certainly a bit challenging to preach on and to have a sermon on. So there's no exciting story like the Old Testament narratives like Elijah or Moses. There's little emotion like the Psalms. There isn't quite the vivid imagery of the prophets. There isn't the powerful parables of Jesus in there. There isn't the practical application, perhaps, of the New Testament letters, although very practical nonetheless. So why bother with these 30 sayings at all? Well, I want us to think about the first of these sayings to help us to prepare well for the book of Proverbs. And the very first saying of these 30 anticipates that question. Why spend time in the book of Proverbs at all? And it answers it by beginning with a call to attention. So let me remind you of verse 17. Pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, says the writer of Proverbs. Turn your ear and listen, they say. And we are to direct our attention to the words of the book of Proverbs. Now, I don't know if you've ever had problems with your hearing. Occasionally, I have a bit of a problem, usually with this ear. This is the ear that sort of gets a bit blocked up sometimes. And I can't hear very well often in my left ear. And so if that's the case, if you've ever experienced something like that, you then have to turn your head so that your good ear is pointing towards the person speaking to you, who you want to hear. Of course, the reverse can also be true, that if there's something you don't want to hear, you can turn your ear away from the person who's speaking. And I don't know why I naturally did that so that I couldn't hear my wife over there, but you know, selective hearing can be a little bit of an issue sometimes, and it can be easy to slip into. And I don't know, even if you've never had problems with your hearing, maybe even in a loud environment, you found yourself sort of cupping your ear to try and hear what someone is saying. So you're directing the sound into your ear. This is what the proverb is trying to get at. We are to pay attention, we are to direct our attention towards the truths that Proverbs are teaching us. So this isn't a passive listening, a kind of sitting back and just sort of listening that way. It's an active decision, a direction towards the sound that we want to hear. And the verse goes further and calls us to apply our heart or set our heart on these things. So this isn't just the direction. It is a desire. It's a longing to seek out and hear what these truths have to say. So right at the beginning of these 30 sayings, we hope that there's going to be exciting and powerful things that we want to direct our attention to. And we want, therefore, to give our whole attention towards it. I'm sure we've all experienced that point where you've been talking to someone and you realize that they're not really listening to you. They look like they're listening. They're sort of nodding and maybe sort of giving a sort of a few sort of verbal yes and no's. Maybe they're doing something very obvious to show that they're not listening, like looking at their phone. Or maybe you just know that they're sort of glazed over. And it's only when you stop and go, well, what do you think about that? That they look a bit sheepish and have to confess to you that they weren't really paying attention to what you were saying. So the book of Proverbs calls us to really listen to the words of the Lord, to pay attention to them. And that is why we're spending time studying them. That is why we want to spend the next 5 Sundays looking at a collection of what might on the surface seem a bit random verses, because the very book commands us to pay attention and direct our attention towards these truths. But we haven't really got to the heart of the issue yet, have we? I mean, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're told to do. But why is it worth doing? What is the value in studying Proverbs? And the answer to that comes for us in verse 19. And it says this, "So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you." The aim of Proverbs and the aim of these 30 sayings that we're going to be looking at is to help us trust in God. That's why they're written down for us. That's why they're included in our Bible. It is to increase our trust in the Lord, or to put it another way, to give us confidence in the Lord. That word, trust, confidence, they're really the same word in the original Hebrew. And so the book of Proverbs says, look, listen to these things, pay close attention to them. Why? Because it will increase your confidence in the Lord. And I think that is worth doing. Because I think our confidence gets shaken so very easily, doesn't it? Our confidence in lots of things. And we've just seen this this week for good reasons that people's confidence in the police has been shaken. And the government are doing lots of things to try and increase our confidence. And our confidence gets locked in lots of other things. We have probably lost our confidence of driving to the local petrol station and being able to fill up. We might still do it and hope, but we may not have a great deal of confidence that we can get what we're looking for. And it is easy, perhaps, to look at our world today and look at all the difficulties that we face and other people face, and perhaps to have our confidence in God begin to get knocked as well. And so the book of Proverbs is a place to turn to have our confidence built up, our confidence in God built up. And the way that Proverbs does that, I think, is, well, there's lots of different ways, but I think one of the key ways is that our confidence in God is eroded when we can't see where he's at work. Do you find that? I certainly do. When we struggle to understand how God is at work, what he's doing, then our confidence begins to ebb and begins to drop down. So again, we look at the circumstances we find ourselves in, and we wonder, where is God at work in that? And we hear the latest news, and we wonder why it seems like God does not act in these different ways, and our confidence in God starts to dwindle. And what Proverbs does is it kind of pulls back the curtain and helps us to see what it is that God is up to and where it is that God is at work. And by looking at this kind of the mechanism by which the world works, it helps to build our confidence in God again. So let's take an example to see this in action. So the second saying in these five that we're looking at to begin with, the second saying is in verse 22, and it says, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor." Now, if there was ever an important command for us to take on board, that's a terrifically important one, isn't it? And I kind of hope that's one that we all are on board with. I hope that doesn't need a lot of explanation from me of why this is a good thing to follow, why exploiting the poor is a bad thing. If you want a little bit more chance to talk through that, then I'm very happy to. But I imagine we're all on board with the idea of exploiting people being bad. And particularly exploiting the poor, and particularly exploiting the poor because they are poor and cannot defend themselves. That's what the verse is getting at. You know, don't exploit the poor because they're the ones who can't afford fancy lawyers. They're the ones who can't afford to push back against exploitation because they're easily exploited because they're vulnerable. I hope we're all on board. That's a bad thing, right? Exploiting the poor because they are poor. And yet we know it happens. I hope our heart breaks over that. I hope we struggle with that. But we know we live in a world where the poor are still exploited, and the poor are still exploited because they're poor. It happens across the world. It happens on our own doorstep, from human trafficking to modern-day slavery to poor wages to poor working conditions to outrageously exploitative payday loans, and the list could go on. Our world still contains exploitation of the poor. And so we have to ask, where is God in all of this? And the answer that Proverbs gives us, he is on the side of the poor. Literally, the proverb says that he's taking up their case in court. The defense lawyer for the poor, they can't afford the flashy defense lawyer in the big glass building, but they have the defense lawyer who is God himself. The poor and the needy have God on their side. And that would be a courtroom drama that would be worth watching, wouldn't it? I don't know if you like those kind of lawyer shows. There's usually kind of one lawyer pitted against another. This is completely imbalanced. God is there defending. And we will see God defending the poor and the needy. God is working to overturn exploitation and poverty and to rob back the robbers, which is what the verse actually says, to rob back the robbers. And what Proverbs does is it reveals what God is up to. And it says, look, why should we not exploit the poor? Because God is on the side of the poor. And if God is on the side of the poor, that is what he's doing. That is the way that we should work as well. That not only do we know that God is working for the poor, but we get to stand and be instruments of God working for the poor. Proverbs wants us to increase our confidence in God, and it wants to instruct us about who God is, what God wants, and where God is at work. And in very practical terms, it wants to instruct us about what we should do as a result. So we have the curtain pulled back even on our difficult world, and we see that God is with the poor. God's desire is justice for the poor. And so Proverbs says, and what are we going to do about that? How are we going to cooperate with God's work for the poor? And that is why it's such a challenging book, because we are challenged to be at work where God is at work. So dare I say this, don't come to the evening service of the next 5 weeks if you want to be comfortable. There's going to be some very uncomfortable, very challenging things, but are we willing to be challenged so that we are closer to where God is at work in our world? Well, that's a good enough reason to study Proverbs, because we see where God is at work and we increase our confidence in God. But before we finish, there is another reason. Just in case you need a little bit more persuading, there is another reason for reading Proverbs. Not only does it increase our confidence in God, it is also for our good. Proverbs is for our good. So verse 18 says this, "For it is pleasing when you keep them," that is the Proverbs, "when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips." God's word in Proverbs is pleasing. It is pleasant when it is in our heart and on our lips. It is good for us. It makes us right and good and healthy and sound in our very being. It helps us to live right and navigate life rightly. So again, if we want an example, we could look at saying number three here in verse 24. Let me tell you what it is again. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared." I mean, just like the Proverbs always are, this is, on one hand, very simple, and on the other hand, deeply profound. I mean, it's very simply put. We don't need a lot of explanation to hear what's going on there. "Be careful who you associate with, and choose your friends carefully." Why? Because we pick up what our friends are like. We pick up what our friends say and what our friends do and what our friends are heading for and desiring and all those different things. We pick up their mannerisms. We copy their ways. And so says Proverbs, "Spend time with those who are easily angered and you'll find yourself easily angered. You'll find your anger being quickly ignited." And so Proverbs just gives us some very good, helpful advice. Don't spend too much time with those who are easily angered, otherwise you'll find that happens to you. And you see it in lots of different ways, don't you? I'm sure we've all had experiences in our own life. You see it in the workplace. A person who is very negative, very dissatisfied, spreads that dissatisfaction across the whole team. Listen too much and you find yourself trapped in their negative way of thinking. But God's word comes into that. It comes into the sort of tide that we might get swept into. And it speaks of what is good for us. It helps us stop, take stock, and go in a different direction. Proverbs is good for us. This is good. It is pleasant. Another way to put that word is it's sweet. It's sweet on our tongues. God's truth tastes good in our mouths and in our lives. And you know what? Unlike other sweet things that, frankly, I am quite easily addicted to, it doesn't rot your teeth. It doesn't put on the pandemic pounds. It gives health instead to our bones. So what are we to do? We have this set of Proverbs that we're going to be looking at. Indeed, the whole of the book of Proverbs. It builds confidence in God, and it is for our good. So what are we to do? Verse 18 tells us, "Have all of them ready on your lips." So what are we to do? We are to take Proverbs, and we are to prepare them on our lips and in our mouths. We are to shape our thinking and our speaking and our acting by the truths that God gives to us. And we are to store these Proverbs in our hearts as great treasures ready to bring out when we need it. And I don't know, maybe that will be actually saying those words, repeating them perhaps to other people, perhaps just to ourselves, or maybe just bringing them to mind. One way to do that is to memorize them. Now, I don't know if you're someone who likes memorizing things or memorizing scripture, but you know what? One of the power of the book of Proverbs is they're short and punchy and easy to remember. So I'm not talking about memorizing an entire chapter of 2 Kings. Do that if you want to. I have no problem with that. But memorizing a proverb is a lot easier. So let me give you a challenge. Why not commit some of these proverbs to memory? Start small. Take one proverb from each of the weeks that we're going to be looking at. Not all five. Feel free to do all five if you want, but take one. And look at it each week and try to remember it. Put it somewhere that you can see it. Maybe repeat it to yourself at the beginning and end of each day. Do whatever. There are lots of different ways that you can use to memorize something. Maybe you could share with one another different ways that perhaps work with you or you'd like to try. But whatever it is, let's take this command seriously to pay attention and have these truths ready on our lips so that when we're in the midst of life, whether it be the struggles or just the practicalities of life, we have these ready on our lips and in our minds so that our confidence in God is strong and that we are going in a good and healthy and right direction. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us these truths for our good and for our confidence in you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to find a way to have them ready on our lips and stored in our minds because they are great treasure. And Lord, please help us to find practical ways in which we can not only hear, but also pay attention and learn these great truths. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, put them into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.